Brian Hayes from TSN 1050 joins us. Hayes, I hear rumor has it you're coming to Edmonton because you're going to lift the curse following the Edmonton Orders.
That's the plan. Hopefully if I do that, I can bring Connor McDavid back with me. I think that would be the plan. I'd be happy to walk all the way to Edmonton if the guarantee was that when McDavid is healthy again, he comes and spends the rest of his career in Toronto.
Yeah, are you one of those who felt like the Leafs, like, they deserved to win the lottery?
Absolutely. Absolutely they deserved to win the lottery. And now I'm a Mitch Marner guy, I guess. And listen, Marner would be fine, but it was – I mean, you know the rumors and the reports out there that after three of the four lottery balls, they had the best chance of winning it. And you want to talk about curse. Like, you and I, we were talking about this yesterday, Jason, that, yeah, there's been injury problems with those first overall picks. But come to Toronto if you want to feel cursed. I mean, they're try trading Tuukka Rask for Andrew Raycroft. Try trading, Alex Steen for Lee Stepniak. That's curse. A couple injury problems, that's nothing on what we got here at Toronto.
But, Brian, unless Connor McDavid can play defense and goal, you've still got some problems.
Oh, no question. And that's the truth. I mean, one player would not make a difference with this team here in Toronto. And to be fair, I mean, we're always fantasizing here. We're always thinking about, okay, when's the next player, the great player going to get here? Because we really haven't had a great player in Toronto in a long time. And all of last year, the hope was, at least in the second half, they'd win the lottery and McDavid would come here. Now, everything shifted to Steven Stamkos. And Stamkos is a local guy. He's from Toronto, diehard Leaf fan growing up. And he's still unsigned. So people are like, oh, this would be great. Maybe Stamkos will sign here. He likely won't. He'll probably stay in Tampa. But even if he does come here, they're still horrible. You know, they still don't have talent. They still need, a lot more depth pretty much up and down the lineup. And you mentioned the goaltending. That's the biggest problem right now. I mean, this is something that I'm sure you guys can attest to, too. You guys have been talking about it for a long time at Edmonton. The Leafs have been searching for someone to come in and find and supply some stability. And they do not have it. And if you're a team that doesn't have talent anyway, doesn't have depth, really the only way you can even everything out and the only way you could be a respectable team or a borderline respectable team is to have high-end goaltending. And they're the complete opposite end of the spectrum, and that explains why they're 2-8-2 right now.
Brian Hayes joins us from TSN in Toronto. Mike Babcock came out and mentioned making the nets larger. Thoughts?
Well, I'm not a huge fan. I think – people jump to conclusions on what the game would look like if we made all these drastic changes. And realistically, we don't know. I mean, I guess you could make that move. And then at some point, if you felt like it was too big, the nets, then maybe you could make an adjustment. It is their league. They could do whatever they want. I'm still not sure exactly why Babcock decided to go down that road. I mean, his team can't score right now. But he's a smart enough guy to realize that if they make the net larger, it doesn't mean only the Leafs will score more goals. The other team will too. And really, when you talk about the defensive problems here in Toronto, bigger nets are probably not really what they need to worry about. But it's interesting. I mean, Babcock is a guy that I'm sure what he's learning is now that he's in Toronto, whenever he says anything, it becomes big news. And in Detroit, that was a hockey town, but we all know this. In Toronto, TSN is here, Sportsnet's here. A lot of the more prominent hockey insiders and analysts reside here. And when Babcock speaks, or whoever the coach of the Maple Leafs is, when that guy speaks, people tune in. People listen. People talk about it. And I think this is another example of that. So maybe this is something he's always wanted to talk about, and now he's like, why not? I'm on my pulpit now. I'm in Toronto. People are going to tune in. So I found it interesting that it kind of came out of left field. But listen, he's a smart guy. He's a hockey guy. If he thinks it could work, then maybe it would. But I'm not convinced they have to go down that road.
Well, Brian, what everybody is missing is that Babcock is talking about the other guys having bigger nets, not the Leafs.
Now, so you're saying only 50% of teams would actually benefit from this, and the
yes.
percent each night would be the Maple Leafs, right?
Yeah, look, Mike's been under the microscope before. Like you say, Detroit's a hockey city, maybe not as much media for sure, but, he's a smart guy. He's got an idea of the way the game should be played, and that's led him to a lot of success. Strong personality. How, with the Leafs' a tire fire of a start, is he... you know, around the rink and talking to the guys he has to talk to every day? Is he holding up pretty well, or are we starting to see the edgy Mike Babcock?
There is some edge. I think he's starting to get shorter with certain answers. You know, when he first got here, a lot of it was scripted. I mean, he's not Mr. Personality anyway,
no.
Right? Like, he tries to keep things behind closed doors, and he's never really going to open up. He's never going to be a guy who you find laughing about anything. He's always kind of got that growl on, and I think that applies when they win 10 in a row and when they lose 10 in a row. But, you know, you get to training camp. Every team is tied for first overall. Everyone's feeling good about a new year. So when he first got here, he realized, you know, maybe he had to open up a little bit more. Maybe he had to get out in front of this, because they weren't prepared for this. They all knew that they weren't a good enough team, that they weren't going to win a lot of games, and there's still 70 games left to be played. But that's the trend. I mean, that's where they're at. They're 2-8-2. But he's a competitive guy. You know, he's no different than anyone else that's been around the league for a long time. So he's starting to get a little bit short. You know, if a media type goes down a certain road, that scowl is on him, man. He's got the death stare quick. Like, if he's feeling like a media guy's trying to poke and prod or try to take him down a road that he doesn't want to go to, he'll give you the death stare, and then he'll just say no comment, or he'll just say one or two words. So he really hasn't opened up. And I think that's really smart, because, like, you go back to Ron Wilson. Wilson loved to talk. He loved to hear himself talk. Mm-hmm. And so does Babcock. I mean, Babcock's, you know, kind of toes the line between arrogance and confidence himself, but he deserves to have that. And I'm not suggesting that Wilson didn't either. He had a long career too, a successful career. But by the end of it, Wilson couldn't help himself. And he was going after people, and he was trying to protect himself, and he was kind of picking fights. Brian Burke was in a very similar spot. I think Babcock has decided less is more, and that's the direction he's taken it so far. And I would expect, if they continue to play the way that they are right now, it'll only get shorter and shorter.
Brian Hayes joins us. Brian, how has Martin Marincin looked in Toronto?
Horrible. Awful. I mean, I had expectations in terms of him being a 6th, 7th, 8th defenseman. And I'm not even sure he's met those expectations, but this is a team that is in a situation where they can work with a project, and that's what he is. And Jason, I think you and I, we've spoken about him, and I know you were pretty high on him.
No, Brian.
No, you weren't?
Okay,
maybe I'm getting that information from someone else out there.
Yeah, no, but I am not. The analytics guys are high on Marincin, and Martin Marincin looks like a hockey player, Brian, to me, and I've said it on air when he was here, does not compete hard enough. It doesn't work hard enough in the offseason, never got stronger, can skate. But if you ever have to get in a battle, I will take the other guy every day to win the puck.
And that's carried over here. It's the exact same thing. Now, he hasn't really been put in a great position to succeed, because he's been paired up with Roman Polak, who is very competitive and really battles, but just doesn't have a lot of talent, has no foot speed whatsoever. So it's almost the worst of every, you know, every tangible, intangible you can think of is applied to that D pairing. But Marincin has just been, to your point, he's been soft at times. He turns the puck over. There's no competitive spirit that you really find out of him. And I think, again, because of the analytics, because he's still relatively young, this is a team and an organization that's going to allow him to play it out, and they're going to hope he becomes the next Anton Stroman, right? That's what everyone's looking for, is the guy who doesn't play with a ton of jam, but over time his skills and his smarts kind of all come together, and he turns into an impactful player. So I think from that standpoint, that's what they're hoping for, and they're going to give him a shot, and it's a small sample size. I didn't know him at all before he got here, and he's only been here for 12 games. I think he's played in 10 of them. But it hasn't been very impressive so far.
You know, it's interesting. We see young players like Marincin go through here, and mixed reviews. Doesn't sound like it's changed. I look up top on the Leafs roster now, and a guy who gets nagged with memes and ridiculed, some of it he brings on by the way he plays, Dion Phaneuf. 8 points in 12 games. That looks like a pretty nice start statistically for him. Morgan Rielly. Without Phaneuf and Rielly, and even throw Joffrey Leupel into that mix at this early stage, can you finish 31st in a 30-team league?
I know, honestly, right? Like, if this was the EPL, they'd be in, like, the East Coast Hockey League right now with relegation and the way that it's kind of going with this team. But, yeah, I mean, Riley's been outstanding. Morgan Riley has been outstanding. And he's the future of all these players. There's going to be a lot of turnover. He's the one guy that is not going anywhere. I think Nazem Kadri, who's not putting up big points, has actually responded really well to Mike Babcock. I think James Van Riemsdyk's played pretty well. Gardner's had some injury problems, but he's been okay. Those are the four players, forwards and defensemen, that likely have a future here or could have a future here. As for Phaneuf, he's been sheltered. You know, Dion used to get thrown out there for 24, 25 minutes a night, regardless of how he was playing, regardless of how the matchup was stacking up. They just keep throwing him over the boards, and you could see it coming. You could see him hitting the wall. He's like a lot of defensemen in this league. I'd say 90, 95%. Once they hit a minute's threshold, they start to break down. And that's what happened with Dion. And Babcock has made it a priority to shelter him when he can. Do not overexpose him. He's not getting all of the big matchups in terms of the opponent's top line. And he's on the power play, and he's not really killing penalties. So what they're doing is they're almost treating Dion as if he's the kid and putting Riley in the tougher positions as if he's the vet. And I think there's a reason to that madness. Riley's a guy that they want to learn on the job. They want him to get his licks in now so that he can build on that and that he can move forward with this team and be a catalyst for this team. Dion, they're trying to change his reputation throughout the league so that he can be traded. And really, ultimately, that's the plan, I believe, that they're going to try to deal him at some point. I can't picture a scenario where he's here the remaining five and a half years on his contract. And I think they're trying to put him in a position where his numbers look good, where his eye test looks good, and where other teams throughout the league would be willing to talk trade. And more importantly, a trade that wouldn't put the Leafs in a position where they got to take a ton of bad money back or eat money on his contract. I think it's actually very smart. I think Babcock is in line here with Lamoriello, in line here with Shanahan, even though I've always heard Babcock likes Dion. He does like him. But I don't see Dion as a part of the program long term. So I think it's an organizational project to try to build him up so his stock goes up so they can deal him at some point.
Brian, always good to catch up to you, my man. It's disappointing for Leaf fans and really, Oiler fans and fans across the league. The one visit to Toronto later this month will not include Connor McDavid, so you'll have to wait until the summertime likely to see him in Eastern Canada playing in the for the U24 team.
Yeah, we look forward to that in September, but you're right, Jason. I mean, people are really bummed out. November 30th, he was coming back to Toronto, and that was the one ticket this whole season that was without question the hottest ticket. I mean, that was the one game where I was going. I wasn't going to be in the press box. I was going to be in the seats. And I'll bet you can find those tickets on StubHub now for face value, if not below that, where if he was in the lineup, I'll bet you they'd be going for double, triple face value. It would have been a massive buzz with him here, and it's a bummer. I mean, obviously it's not as big of a bummer here as it is in Edmonton, but it's a league-wide thing. People are really rattled that he's not going to be playing anytime soon.
Always great to talk to you, Brian. We'll do it again soon.
All right, boys. Thank you.